Welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast with Don and Suzanne Manning.
A podcast where we share with you great insights about everything family from over 30 years of parenting 7 kids and over a decade of equipping parents through our Crazy Cool Family Ministry.
So let us inspire and equip you to build your best family.
Hey, welcome to the Crazy Cool Family Podcast. Super excited today to have Corey Carson in here with us. Corey has become a good friend of mine over the last year. Yeah, we said the January of 2023, right?
That's right. We were in a mastermind together and got a chance to meet you then, and we've stayed connected along the way.
And Corey lives in Cincinnati. He is a leadership coach, but has had a career. We'll talk about that. He's got a great family and he coaches leaders. So really there's so many people in our audience are up and coming leaders, raising families with all the issues that we're going to talk about today. So first of all, Corey, just welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Don. It's I'm honored to be on here. It's just cool what you are doing with Crazy Cool Family. And every time I've heard you speak, whether it's in the mastermind or having you on my podcast, it's just a wealth of wisdom. So it's cool to be here on this side of the microphone with you.
Well, we're going to hear some wisdom from you too. I mean, if you go to his website, which is CoreyMCarlson.com, you'll see a number of testimonials from different leaders that just said, hey, man, work-life balance, getting my goals done in family and work. Corey is just a master at that and written a couple books. And so, but let's dig in just a little bit. Tell us about, your family first. Let's hear about your family.
Yeah, family. Married for 24 years and Holly's her name. And I mean, I get to do what I get to do because of her. And I'm crazy grateful for it. And I realize how blessed I am because she's basically CEO of the house and very supportive of when I have to travel or when I'm working. There are times, though, when I write a book. Someone asked her the other day, do you think Corey's going to write a third book? And she said, I hope not, because he doesn't win at home first, which is actually the name of my first book. Obviously, that's the joke there. But it's just she has lots of grace for when I get into writing book mode or I'm traveling. So it's very, very cool. And then we have three kids.
I'm going to ask a question about that. Did she have a career? Did she work? Or has she always been at home or what?
She did have a career. She had a successful career. She has her bachelor's and master's in accounting and then worked for one of the, I think they're the Big 8 at the time, and maybe even went to one of the Big 6 accounting firms in Kansas City, where we started our marriage and family in Kansas City. So she did that in Kansas City. And then in Denver, she went to another company. But when we moved from Denver to Cincinnati, and we did it for a promotion that I received, we had a sit down and just a conversation of, I mean, this is no judgment against dual working families at all, or dual working parent families. But for us, we were just like, we wanted to have just me work and she stay at home with the kids and do the family thing that way. And it was a big decision because we stepped away from her six figure job. We walked away from that. I got a beater of a car to buy. We rented a smaller house. I mean, that was a big part of our story, but we wanted to do it because we wanted to raise the kids, us two together, and doing it that way. And so that's a choice we made. And I guess we did that 12 years ago when we moved to Cincinnati, and she's not gone back to work full time since.
Gotcha. And your kids are 19, and I know the younger one's 11. What's the middle one? I can't remember.
Yeah, 19-year-old daughter, 15-year-old daughter, and 11-year-old son.
Yeah. And dealing with the first one out of the house, like we were talking about before the podcast.
Yeah, no, a sophomore in college. So it's just a blast to see your kids grow up. I mean, you've got grown kids and even grandkids. It's you know, it's not sad as they grow. It's actually fun to see the new chapters, the new conversations, the new experiences and opportunities that they have. And it's really cool.
Well, and you say you referenced your book, Win at Home First, right? Isn't that it? Did I get the title?
Book number one is called Win Home First, which is about work-life balance. And the second book is called Rise and Go, which is about resilience and hope.
Well, Win at Home First. So, you know, in that book, and I've read through it, you said you want to help leaders win at home and work. So when you look at it, you know, I think this is, especially in our faster and faster paced society with technology running crazy and winning, you know, what does it look like for a leader, somebody who's up and coming in their career to win, who's also a believer? How do you help those people? How do you help people, you know, in the workplace define winning at home, at work?
Yeah, you know, I wish we could give it KPIs of or key performance indicators for what winning looks like. You know, like in baseball, there's a batting average, and so you can know if you're doing well or not. And so it's hard to do it in personal and professional life. In professional life, we know when we're having success, we got revenue or we've got profits, and those are kind of all tangible. For me in my own life, as well as when I lead others, we have a good gut check if we're winning. We know if our relationship with our spouse is going well or we're acting like roommates. And I know for Holly and I, there are times where we're crushing it. We're doing great. We're going on our dates. We're having good conversations. And I know there's other times when maybe I've been traveling or we've missed some dates and then we're just distant. My jokes aren't as funny, or she'll say something and it annoys me. And so for winning is when we know that relationship is going well. But there are somewhat KPIs involved that I think that we need to be thinking about in our relationships, like date night. Many executives, many business leaders are not going on dates with their spouse. They wing it occasionally of like, oh, well, let's do something tonight. But they're not planning. They're trying to go for the spontaneous. And before you know it, it's months before they've been on a date. And I know a lot of times when I start my coaching calls with individuals and we're talking about their relationship, it's like, when's the last time you're on a date with your spouse? And they're like, let me think. Oh, it's been a few months, or we went to the company holiday party.
Right.
And so in our marriage, a KPI that we want is two date nights a month. They don't have to be expensive. They don't have to be extravagant, but they need to be us two alone without a whole bunch of friends, without our kids, without sport activities, but just hanging out, having fun. It could be a dinner. It could be going to a movie, whatever that may be. We also try to do a trip, just us two, a year, and a staycation if we can't get to the trip that year.
Right.
Same thing with kids. It's what does that in one-on-one time with our kids look like? And so I want to get one-on-one time, throwing the football with my son, going getting coffee with my daughter, like that one-on-one time where we're connecting. We're across the table, looking each other in the eyes and having a conversation. I also want to do a one-on-one trip with each of my kids, an overnight trip where it's just me and the kid. And that's been awesome because it's different when there's no siblings around and the other parents not around. It's so cool.
Yeah. And that's once a year with your kids.
Once a year.
Well, you do have, so you have some metrics that you use and you like to coach leaders into using, but also you kind of mentioned just a feel. All right. So I don't know that everybody really knows that, you know, especially with little kids, you know, or certainly with teenagers. How do you have a feel for, and you know, when you're working with leaders, how do they have a feel for whether things are going well or not? I understand the KPI. That's really good. But that feel thing, I think people, I'd like to explore that a little bit with you.
Yeah. I think I feel a couple different ways. One, is just your gut check. I mean, as I'm even talking, there may be a name of one of your kids that's popping up. Like, oh man, I need to probably hang out with Jack more, or I need to hang out with Julie more. I mean, so I think anytime we get this random prompting that comes out of nowhere, it's probably God saying, hey, you need to spend a little time with this particular kid. They're having a rough time at school. They're feeling lonely. They're slightly depressed. They need some time. So I think anytime you hear a podcast like this, or maybe it's a sermon, or you're reading a book, or wherever it is, and if you get this random thought of you need to invest some time over here, that's probably a prompting that's worth pursuing.
Yeah, so maybe it's a, and I know you're very Spirit-led in what you do, but I mean, just hearing from the Holy Spirit is really just, many times it is that prompting of, and you know, it's interesting what you said, that maybe a kid comes to mind. Oh, yeah. And you know, or maybe that child. And so often I think that, and don't you see it, that especially as men, something's wrong, we want to go fix it. We want to go lecture them about it, or, you know, hey, you need to change. Many times it's just that we need to flip it into, that's a prompting I need to invest in my child.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. And that investment for you with your three, what does that look like? I mean, what do you do to invest in your kids?
Yeah, I'll answer that. Well, one thought I had is, you know, if the gut feeling's not working or the prompting's not working for that particular listener, one thing I've done, obviously your kids have to be able to talk, but I went and asked my kids on a scale from 1 to 10, if 10's being amazing, how am I as a dad right now? And the answer doesn't matter.
You ask them that consistently, or was it just one time?
I've asked them a few times. It is not consistent. I think it could be consistent for sure for somebody, but I remember this one particular time that I did it. The other times have kind of been non-event when I've done it. But this one particular time I did it, I asked my two youngest kids, 1 to 10, how am I doing as a dad right now? And the answer that they give you doesn't really matter. I mean, don't get hung up if they say a 2 or 3, and don't get too crazy if it's 8 or 9. The real gold is in the next question. What is something I can do to move it closer to a 10? And for me, they said a number, I think it was 8. And I said, what do I need to do to get closer to a 10? And my daughter so fast said, no more talking about goals or vision or God before noon. and what it was is, I have a morning routine. Is I go to the gym and I do my quiet time, and then I get ready for work, and then that's when I see the kids. So when I see the kids, I am amped up. I've listened to a sermon, or I've listened to some podcast that's inspirational, or I've listened to music. I've worked out. I mean, I'm ready to go. And so I'm thinking vision, I'm thinking goals, I'm thinking God, I'm all those pieces. And so I would come downstairs or upstairs, depending on where I was relative to where they were at that moment. And I know I was coming up and I was just kind of throwing up on them. You know, what's your goals for the day? What are your top 3 rocks for this week?
Yeah. And Dad, get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
I'm
so glad I asked this question, because they told me that. Otherwise, I wasn't asking the question. I was just steamrolling them. They were rolling their eyes. I was getting frustrated. But by just asking the question, how can I improve as a dad, it gave them permission to speak into what I was doing wrong. Even though I thought my kids always have permission to speak into how I could get better, it took that invitation. So I think for any of that listener who doesn't necessarily have a gut feel of which kid to spend time with, man, just ask some questions. How can you get better? Or how do they want to spend time with you?
Well, and I'd love for you to speak to this, because I think it's, you're a pretty intense guy. So you've been successful in your business. You have a strong voice. You know, you've had 2 daughters, you know, and you have 2 daughters, you know, but I mean, so how did that work with, you know, being at home, being at work, that intensity is rewarded. I mean, you're a good salesman, you're an engineer, you're getting after it, you're making things happen, you know, and probably even engineering, it's a kind of a, I don't know, maybe, I don't know how many women or men are there, but I mean, it seems like it's a male dominated culture, even possibly. You come home and now you've got these young female daughters. And, you know, I can just see, here's Corey, just Mr. Intensity. You know, how did you transition at home to being a dad of daughters and not running over them?
That is an awesome question. And let's be clear. I ran over them a lot. I ran over everybody a lot. I did not do it perfect. I was intense, and I'm still could be reminded that I'm too intense at times. And so that is something I continue to work on and grow on. Absolutely. I mean, matter of fact, I am a coach for a living, but I hire coaches at different times. And a coach I have right now is really helping me through some mindset components, and it's helping me, in fact, balance the intensity that I could have at different times and but bring a levity to it. And I have fun, and we have lots of fun in this house, but I'm also aware that I could be intense at times. So I just, first and foremost, I don't want to come across like I know how to do intense at work, and then boy, I know how to dial it down, and I'm super fun and laid back at home. There's some days I am that way and I'm an awesome dad and it's pretty cool, but there's other days I'm intense. It's, you know, it's make your bed and let's do a devotion now. And what do you,
you know, what would you say if you had to grade your relationship with your, so I want to say this to encourage dads that, and moms and dads who can be intense, but want to pursue the relationship in spite of your intensity and mistakes. Where's your relationship like with your daughters right now?
I say it's awesome, but maybe they'd say differently. No, I do think it is awesome. And I think I made lots of mistakes being too intense. But one thing I did get right is saying sorry. Asking for forgiveness. Saying I messed up. I came in too hard. I'm grateful for my wife for all the time she said, hey, you know, you're being too hard on the kids or chill out or whatever it may be. Some days I probably did not receive it very well.
Yeah.
And I'd take it to quiet time and be like, you know, be all frustrated. But then I'd get a piece of, hey, she's in the right, I'm in the wrong, and how do I do this better?
But she is like, it seems like too, I don't know her at all, but I mean, seems like she's an accountant. She's kind of a, you know, is there not some pretty intensity with some intensity with her too?
Absolutely there is. I mean, yeah, there is. And I think that's why we've worked well as a team is there's times that she is intense, and that may, that's on the good days that I'm probably on fun dad mode. And so we're
besides saying you're sorry, like for both of you, like what would you say are some things that have contributed to the healthy relationship you have with your daughters?
I know my daughters would say if they were on this podcast, because they've said it other times, is the intentionality that I brought. So not just intensity, but the intentionality. Like I wanted to go get coffees. I made a point to go get a coffee to hang out with them.
Right.
I've been on mission trips with two of my three kids. We're just us, you know, my daughter and I in 2019 went to Nicaragua for a week. This summer went to Puerto Rico with my other daughter. It is, you know, hanging out with them, doing different things, whatever that may be. Let's go for a walk. Let's go get ice cream. And so I think that intentionality allowed me to be in a space that I gained relational equity.
Yeah.
That as I hung out, as we talked, as I asked about friends at school, as I asked about dance or gymnastics and just laid back. I mean, there were a lot of times when I would go into a situation and I would literally just pray of God, is this a time to speak and be a dad and challenge, or is it a time just to hang out? And
that's good.
And I remember, I mean, cars. I remember going to pick up my daughter and I would pick her up. And then on the way home, it would be, pretty much the intensity. You know, what was your high of the day? And did you hear from God? And kind of all these pieces. And I just realized it wasn't working. I was getting short answers. And so I started praying about this and thinking about how, what should my car rides be like? And I got just this peace and clarity of the car rides can be intense some days if they're necessary, but they also could be rolling down the windows and singing Taylor Swift. And that's what we would do. I would pray. And if I felt this was supposed to be a laid back car ride and having fun, then we did that.
Yeah. And so, I just want to bring out, because so often I talk to a lot of dads and moms that are pretty intense people, and just a few things that I've heard you say. One, you're 19, 15, and 11. So you're on the backside of the parenting journey. You've learned a lot and you coach other leaders. So you're investigating how to do these things. And so just a few things I've heard there is being willing to say you're sorry. And the second thing was being intentional. And the third was is just being fun. And, and it doesn't have to be. It's not that you can't. So often I feel like parents think we're taking away, when we tell them to be relational, we feel like we're taking away their control, or we're taking away their ability to influence their kids. And we're like, no, man, it's just, where's your focus? If it's always on being intense, then you're going to drive your kid away. But your kid really wants you to be intentional. They want a little intensity from you sometimes. And yet having that balance. And I think another thing you said was just kind of listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit a lot of times was my wife. And you just said the same thing. Because I had daughters, I would say, here's the way I feel like I need to get on to them about this. What do you think? And sometimes she would say, yeah, absolutely, but do it with this kind of tone, or realize that it's this or whatever. Sometimes I never would even do it because it wasn't even the right thing. It just wasn't. So what I'm hearing you say is that, man, just being sensitive, you got a good relationship with your daughter, maybe even a great relationship with your daughters, because in spite of mistakes, because you're trying to be intentional and being sensitive to the Spirit.
Yeah, I appreciate the summary.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, and also another thing I want to know, when you're talking about leaders, so often with leadership, when you are good at what you do, it seems to require hours. Maybe you had sales jobs, could require travel. How do you help these leaders not be so, be consumed time-wise, but also be able to leave their phones, be able to leave their devices in order? You were talking about the laptop being on your lap while, instead of as you're playing with your kids. Now that you've been through that some and you're coaching leaders, how do you tell them to face those issues?
Yes, there are a variety of answers here. None of these are these aren't in the right order of importance or not. But I'll share some things that are coming on my mind. First of all, there's always going to be times where we have to work hard, travel, be busy, the deadline's coming up, need to work some evenings, maybe even have to work weekends. You got to get the deadline. You got to get the big proposal out. You've got to travel to go to the conference. Whatever the case may be, that is okay. However, we have to come home and recalibrate and make sure that following week or whatever that may look like, those weekends, you're back to hanging out and playing with the kids, going on a date with your spouse, putting the phone down, the laptop down. What can happen is it just becomes a new normal. You're always working. You're always traveling. You're always going. And when it becomes normalized, that is when we now have a situation that is going to be hard to have a healthy marriage and healthy relationship with your kids. But the occasional travel, part of that's great. it's good for our kids to see us work hard and go after goals and get them and come home and share the goals, share some of the losses too, so they can build up some resilience inside of them to know, hey, we win some, we lose some, but we get back up. And so working hard is good. Just recalibrate when you come back. Be looking ahead, right? Leaders are out in front, so be looking ahead. If your calendar looks heavy, a lot of travel, you need to communicate that to your spouse. Hey, I'm going to be gone these weeks or these weekends or these evenings or some happy hour events. Communicate that to your spouse well in advance. No spouse appreciates the last minute, oh, by the way, I have a happy hour tonight. I'm not going to be home till 8 or I'm going out of town tomorrow.
Right.
So communicate up front and then plan something on the back end. I mean, all of our calendars need to have some hope in them. Meaning if you've got a hard run of 3 months of work, man, put a vacation at the end of that so everyone can look forward to and rally around. I remember one season where I was busy with work. The kids were busy with sports and we could just tell it. We needed something to look forward to. And so we planned a couple night staycation in Cincinnati and it was awesome. Where we got together, we played, had fun, ate out. It was cool. So I'd say that's one thing is you're going to work hard at times. Make sure you communicate and recalibrate. Second, from a work standpoint is I actually had a call today. A client called me from vacation. It was our set call. And I actually said, why are we talking? It's vacation. And he said, well, I want to take this call because I'm working too much on this vacation. I need to kind of level set with you. And I think so many of us, out of pride and out of control, we're working too much. We're thinking the job is dependent on us. If we're not constantly looking at our emails, things are going to fall apart. If we're not replying that phone call within like 30 seconds, we're going to get fired. And one exercise I walk a lot of clients through is, before there was Wi-Fi on planes, and still it's not always easy to get Wi-Fi on planes, but if you fly on a 3-hour flight and then when you land, you then sync up and see your emails, like things happen while you're in the air. Emails went back and forth and people solved problems without you. Matter of fact, when you look at all the emails, you'll probably see a couple solutions that were maybe better than what you would have done. And when you look at it, you can then say, oh, you know what, I'm just going to add this one thing. So it becomes time efficient to not look at your email for 3 hours, and then all of a sudden look at a bunch of emails and just do a couple quick answers, boom, 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 and then move on. And getting leaders to see that, hey, they don't have to have their hands in everything at all times. And it allows you to equip and empower those below you, that report to you, to do better. So I think it's really stepping into control and pride in your job and realizing, hey, we're replaceable.
Do you tell them to have their own plane ride when they really don't have a plane ride? Just to, you know, just pretend yes. Plane ride? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, 100%, Don. I tell them, I mean, you know, I'm not the first one to think of this, but like think time. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, this one particular time when I incorporated think time into my calendar, it was Thursdays from 2 to 3. And it was just me, myself, and I on a whiteboard. And I would use that to think about the big 3 initiatives I was working on for my business. And I still remember where people would say, hey, Corey, we got a meeting at 2:00, but it looks like you have a meeting. Can we move your meeting? And I'll be like, hey, let me ask the people that I'm involved with. I'll see if we can move it. And then I'd get back to him and say, yeah, we can move it. And I move it to 3:00. But it's one of those, is scheduling time to do think time.
Yeah.
Batching time where you're looking at emails. You don't need to be looking at emails all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, you know, it's interesting. This year, even, I have really learned the value of what I call strategic time. So there's God time, there's strategic time. And for me in our ministry, there's also content time, you know, when I'm needing to write. And I find that if I don't do those 3 things, because of too many meetings and things, then I wind up getting stressed because I feel out of control. you know, I haven't delivered the content I need to deliver to to our audience. But really, that strategic time has been so critical because it's what you're calling think time. You know, just being able to sit down and think about the rocks, the key rocks that are in there to be able to make sure that I'm moving those along. And it's really helped me to be a much better leader because I just don't think we lead well when we feel out of control. And that strategic time for me has really helped me to feel less out of control. And I find I have a lot going on usually, but I mean, it takes a while. You said an hour, people are like, an hour with a whiteboard? Oh my goodness, what am I going to do for an hour? You'll be amazed at how quickly that time goes by. And but then you come out of it just feeling, you know, you were talking about going to the gym. And I was like, man, that's what my strategic time does for me. It makes me feel just like I can go run through a wall because now I know where I'm going.
Absolutely. No, it's great.
And it's, you know, and I feel like you're a pretty organized person. I have always say for me, I'm the most organized, disorganized person I know because, you know, I'm always fighting that battle of being organized and, you know, because I tend to be distracted. But I just want to tell people, listen to Corey. I mean, he's really helping people. He's helped a lot of people be successful. Fight that battle. I don't care how organized or disorganized. Some people will just say, oh, I'm just not very organized. You know, and it's almost like an excuse. Okay, that just means you got to fight a little harder. And you don't have to be, and I think you would agree with this too, intentionality doesn't require that we are perfectionist. It just requires that if we are strategic, we will move things along. Don't you agree with any type of personality?
Absolutely. Don't go for perfection. Go for progress.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love the phrase, it's a lot easier to steer a moving ship. I mean, just get moving and then you can course correct along the way based off what your coach may say, your coworkers may say, your spouse may say, but it's a lot easier to course correct. So just, you know, get moving and try some of these. I mean, I think that'd be my heart, Don, or not I think, I know it's my heart for this podcast is shared a lot. And we will continue to share. I know we're not over, but is just grab one thing for the listener and then go implement.
Yeah.
You know, the phrase I love is information plus implementation leads to transformation. There's tons of information out there. There's books, there's podcasts, there's TED Talks, there's YouTube clips. I mean, there's so much information out there. We don't lack information, but a lot of us can lack implementation in our lives of trying to see some change. And so my encouragement would just be that listeners grab one thing that we said today that's helpful, try it. And then when it works, put the second one on.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, if I had one thing, I mean, there's definitely intentionality with your kids and things like that. I think of all the things we've talked about today and so far, that what you called think time, what I'm calling strategic time, if the people on this podcast were to say, look, I am going to schedule 15 minutes, 30 minutes of strategic time this week, and I'm going to try to do that for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, I think you'll be amazed at what, and it's not even that you come up with, it's the plan is nothing because the plan will change, but planning is everything. As you go through that process, you're going to think about things that just bring to life. That's where you were talking about, Corey, how God can speak to you. Oh, wow, I need to go see that child of mine. And maybe we go out on a little ice cream date or something. You know, those things. And then you act on those things. And then it just creates an upward spiral of feeling better about yourself. And, you know, I love it that you said it doesn't have to be perfect, right? It doesn't have to be. It just has to be. Take that next step. What is that next step that you're going to take? One more question, you know, as we start to, you know, kind of wrap up a little bit. I think also, and I touched on it a little bit, but I want to see what you think about it, is you winning at work and winning at home. So a lot of times, don't you think that winning at work becomes different than winning at home? The environments are different. How do you coach you know, leaders to what adjustments need to be made from work as they're walking in that door at night to win at home?
Yeah, I think a few things. One, our day ends when our head hits the pillow and not when we walk through our front door.
Huh. Okay. Explain.
So leaders need to not walk into that front door like, whoo, my day is done. It was a hard one. Let me go sit on the couch, grab a beer and watch TV. Or let me go just, you know, dink around in the garage or the basement or whatever. My day's done. No, I mean, your day's not done. Now it's time to step into parent and spouse mode and help and have fun and do the dishes and clean up and whatever the case may be. And then your day's over when your head hits the pillow. So I think one's a mindset of it's not over. Like, keep going, keep being intentional, keep asking questions like you did at the job. Don't shut down your conversational mode. So I think that's one piece. The other, and this isn't my content, I learned this along the way, but this idea, I think it was like called five levers. But this idea of when the book was written on this is like there's five gears. And when we wake up, we're kind of in gear one, kind of like groggy, kind of getting going. And then, you know, you kind of two, you brush your teeth, you get ready. And three, now you're driving and you're kind of, you're alert. Four, you're at the water cooler having some conversations. And five, now you're in a meeting. You're making decisions. You're making phone calls. And that idea takes about 90 minutes to get there. And then what happens is it takes 90 minutes in the morning. We all get that. We all understand that because we get up, we shower, and we commute and all those pieces. However, we try to take that 90-minute ramp-up time and shorten it to like 90 seconds, which does not work. And so what happens is we walk in that front door just getting off a phone call with a coworker or with a customer and then walking in. And we're at this level, like, you know, level five, and our spouse is at level one or two, maybe a crying kid in the hand or cooking dinner or whatever their, you know, dynamics are when you walk in the house and you're off. You're super, you know, high energy, they're low, or it flip-flops. Maybe you walk in, you just got bad news from a client, you're low, and maybe they're a little bit higher because dad's walking in the door, let's go play.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, that's so good. It's kind of like those kids asking you not to give them vision in the mornings.
That's right. And So what I tell what I walk my clients through, and I make sure I do this in my own life, is start the ramp down early. So when you're coming home, don't make phone calls. If it's going to, you know, mess you up, don't listen to NPR. Don't listen to sports radio. Don't listen to politics if it's going to mess with you.
That's good. That's good.
If you're in a good, healthy place, then listen to it. But if you're not, don't. And let your brain calm down. Say, you know, pray, worship music, whatever it is. And that just helps so much.
That's good. And also kind of sensing when you walk into the room, what the temperature is, what level are the kids? What level is my wife? You know, so often I think that caused... That I can just see that. I know I do that. I come in, I've been on a phone call, you know, just off, and I'm amped up, and then everybody's not ready for that. And yep. And then I'm, you know, you just get annoyed and all the things that happen with that. But I love it that also thinking about what level they're at that you were saying, you know, it's because many times it's not that you're at the wrong level, it's that you're not at the level with the other people.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there's not a right or wrong. They're just not the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So figure out how to get the same.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, I know that we need to wrap up. We could do this all day long, and we'll do it again sometimes. But just, man, I love the challenges. What would you like for people to get further in touch with you? Maybe somebody's interested in coaching, want to get one of your books. What would you tell them? We'll put this in the show notes too, but just give you the opportunity to share it with them here.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to my website, our team's put together a resource called 10 Ways to Win at Home and Win at Work. And so there's 10 ideas that you can start to implement into your life. Not you don't have to do all 10. Remember, we can just do one at a time. But yeah. Go there. You can go to the website. You can pull off that resource. And that's a great free resource, free start. From there, my two books are available. Win a Home First. And it's about work-life balance. The things that I learned, because quite honestly, Don, I lost at Home First. So I had to write a book about how I got it figured out after losing and what I've shared with clients along the way. Second book is called Rise and Go. And then really the whole idea behind that book is I got knocked down in April of 2020, March of 2020, and I was able to get back up. And so the whole thesis of that book is all leaders get knocked down. It's just the great leaders get back up quicker.
Right,
so,
right.
So what could it look like in your life if the next time you get knocked down, you got back up quicker?
And you've got a podcast.
Podcast called Win Home First. Every week we interview business leaders, talk homework, faith. You are a guest, depending on when that releases versus releases. They may come out about the same time. Who knows? But yeah, go check out Don on there. I think I even said it in the podcast. I remember I took like 3 pages of notes when you were talking.
So Corey, CoryMCarlson.com is the website. And just so much stuff there. I'm looking at it right now. It's got fantastic resources. And, you know, not just for leaders. Well, in reality, Corey, I think you'd agree with this. Everybody's a leader. You know, we're all leaders in our own ways. We all have different pockets of leadership. We have some people lead in larger places than others, but we all are designed to be leaders. Just thank you for your time.
Oh, man. Thank you, Don. Thanks for the honor and the opportunity to be here and talk with you.
Go be crazy, crazycoolfamily.com.